Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the Wester Hotline is Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN's NFL Nation reporter. Marcel, good morning. Good to have you on the show again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So what do you think about this Bills team? Nate and I have been talking a lot about this, about this offense, you know, whether the last 3 weeks are a bit of a regression, if it's just a bump in the road. You know, the story on the season's not written, of course. We know that. You cover a team for a full year. There's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of, you know, hills and valleys. The emergence of Zach Moss, the limiting of the passing game. Right about now as they head into this New England game, what kind of offense do you think they have? What kind of team do you think they have?
You know, it is it's weird. It's like that old Eminem song, I really want the real Bills to please stand up, because we don't know. We've seen the potential. We've seen how good it can be there in the first 4 weeks, that explosive, you know, field-stretching offense, air raid offense. And then we've seen the low. We've seen the floor against Tennessee, against Kansas City, and for the first half against the New York Jets, that, you know, if this team can't stretch the field, it does look incredibly limited. They can't run the ball. So if you take away the pass, then all of a sudden it's a pretty average offense. And right now how that defense is playing, we've seen glimpses before, but we're yet to see a four-quarter effort outside of maybe, I guess, week one. So it's hard to put a pin on what exactly this team is. They've done enough to win five games through their first seven, and you know that's a start, because you know we said it a lot this offseason, 10-6 this season is a lot better than 10-6 last season. So you're halfway to that, and you've got a lead in the division. You know, it looks like right now that lead should stick. A lot of people talking about Miami as a, you know, potential contender to, you know, to maybe knock the Bills off or even win the division. But without, you know, with Tua at quarterback, it's one of those you got to wait and see.
So yeah, the Dolphins,
you still got a potentially division winning team here, but I don't know how much further they get from that until some of these issues, some of these defensive issues, some of these injuries heal up.
Yeah, you're kind of, you know, once you get to this point as a team, you start working at the finer edges of how good you want to be. You know, they've made some strides in a big way, and of course, winning the division would be big. I'm looking at the Dolphins' schedule, guys, by the way. Rams and then Cardinals for Tua's first two starts. I mean, those are two good teams. If the Bills beat the Patriots and the Dolphins lose those two, like, we're going to be calling the division before Thanksgiving with the way things are set up.
Yeah, I mean, and who would have thought, right? You know, we thought this was going to be an actual battle, and through the first 3 weeks, at least, the Patriots looked like world beaters almost. I mean, even if I stand firm, the way Cam was playing the first few weeks, if he's in the game against Kansas City, then they beat the Chiefs, and that's the same Chiefs that just ran right down Buffalo's throat a couple weeks ago. So I don't. It's so hard to call, but I think this week beating the Patriots would go such a long way toward breaking down that mental barrier of getting into a new era of Bills football. because the Patriots have been that big brother, that bully for the past two decades. There is a mental block there, kind of saying, okay, like we have to beat this team, we have to beat this team. So what I'm looking for this week is how they come out the gate. Do they come out trying to press, trying to do too much, like we saw really the past two outings in the 2019 season when they played New England? They did try to press. They did try to do too much, especially Josh Allen in week four. Or do they let the game come to them? Do they take what Bill Belichick in New England gives them? Do they, capitalize on their opportunities instead of trying to force it downfield? And, if they can do that, they can get that win there. Like I said, it'll go a long way because you're looking at the Dolphins' schedule, the Bills' schedule doesn't get any easier either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I'm thinking about this Patriots game, and while there's no Tom Brady there, I'm trying to think of, like, what movie reference is right. Nate, help me on this. Where, like, you make the guy bleed so you can prove that he bleeds, he can be beaten too. Like, a win over Belichick would 300, yes, even a God King can bleed, right? Like, yeah, that's it. That's if Josh Allen gets a win over Bill Belichick, if Sean McDermott gets a win over Bill Belichick, it will be there first, regardless of who's on the field, and you kind of get that, it's in your mind like, ah, yes, he can be defeated, and the people that are here can be the ones to do it.
Exactly. No, it's important. Like I said, there's a mental block. There's a mental hurdle. That's the word I've been looking for, a mental hurdle to jump over here. And it really is the year to do it. Like, you lose to New England here, that you really start to wonder, okay, well, Russell Wilson's coming to town the week after. You're going to visit Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. And you got a bye week to figure it out. And you've got, I believe it's the Chargers. You've got the 49ers. You've got the Steelers after that. I mean, it's just such a brutal draw for them from here. You've got to get your dubs when they're available. And there's a available dub coming up this Sunday.
Well, first of all, Marcel, I was tweeted at by like five people to make sure that I ask you how Morty was. So I'll ask you that first and foremost, your dog Morty, because you tweeted about it on Sunday and everyone's very worried about it and tweeting me to make sure I ask you. So that's the first part of the question. The second part of the question is explaining to me why, because I know you're team Cole Beasley. I'm firmly team Cole Beasley. And I'm just sort of wondering where, like, in Cole Beasley's mind, that he'd ever really thought he'd be in Buffalo and he'd finally be, like, I don't want to say the focal point of the offense, but Cole Beasley's sort of turning into the focal point of the offense because they don't really have a running game and their short passing game has essentially taken over that role in the offense.
Yeah, well, first of all, Marty's doing better. I don't know really how it happened, but he hurt his back. Somehow, I guess maybe he slept on it wrong, and maybe he got too excited when he's got an automatic feeder in the morning. Maybe he got too excited.
I bet you that's the culprit. Yeah, the automatic feeder can be too much. My cat, we had to take away the automatic feeder from the cat. So,
yeah, I've been thinking about that and getting him one of those bowls where it's like a maze where you have to like really work for your food.
Yeah,
he gets a little gassy. Yeah, he eats it so fast. He just sits around kind of burping for the next 20 minutes. So, he's walking real pretty gingerly over the weekend. Sunday, he couldn't get comfortable no matter what he was doing. And I wasn't paying attention, I'll admit it, for maybe the first half of that Jets game. I was trying to help him out, but we got him some medicine, some anti-inflammatory. It seems to help. He's walking fine. He still can't make it up and down the stairs, but I got him. He's 25 pounds. I'll carry him. But he's doing a lot better now.
Good to hear, brother.
Everybody asking. And Cole Beasley, if you follow me on Twitter, I have been banging this drum for, since week two, basically. This guy can cook, man. he can really cook. And he is the focal point of this offense. I know Diggs is still going to get his double-digit targets. Don't get me wrong. And he's still the star here in that room. He's still the unquestioned 1A. But if right now, if teams are game planning to take Stephon Diggs away and to take away those explosive downfield passes, they're going to give Cole Beasley all the room in the world to work underneath. And that is, you're going to die by a thousand cuts if you do that, because he's more than capable of reeling in anywhere between 8 to apparently 11 passes, and he's going to get you 7-8 yards every single time, and you can nickel and dime your way down the field. Now, the next hurdle there is, okay, you've nickel and dimed your way downfield, get the ball in the end zone. That's something they could not do against the New York Jets, but you figure that out, then you're kind of back, because then that's your counter. There's your rebuttal to defenses taking away that explosive part of your offense. You're saying, okay, well, we can still find success. We can still get the job done here. So your move, guys. And I think Cole Beasley, man, that is – he's turning into one of the most important signings over the past couple of years, because without him there, I mean, where's Josh Allen's safety there?
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, for this matchup, it brings back memories of all the times that Tom Brady had Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. I mean, the Bills lost to the Patriots a million times, and a lot of those times it was death by a thousand cuts. It was throws to Kevin Falk. I mean, sure, there was the occasional year they had a Randy Moss and a monster weapon, and Gronk was there as well. But there were so many times where it was exactly that, where the Bills would try and play safe, and Brady would just always be efficient. And I guess, you know, the test for the Bills in this offense is if Allen can continue to do that, right? Can he live that life? How long can he do it before he just decides he can't be patient? Not to say that he necessarily will, but it's a big part of it. It's almost like, you know, you challenge your opponent to be very, very patient. And for a guy like Allen, who has played hero ball and has such playmaking ability, I get how that could be a little bit tough for him.
It is. And, you know, he said it a couple weeks ago that he feels like for the most part he's calmed that instinct, but every now and then the gunslinger comes out, which, I mean, I'm Del Reed, if you're listening to this, I'm still waiting to see that phrase on a shirt. That is a classic line from Josh Allen. But it's up to him, you know, how often that gunslinger comes out. I liked what he did last game. Obviously, that first half, the offense in general was just not good. But the fact that he took his chances, like he picked his spots in trying to stretch the field. He only threw 8 passes beyond, I think, 10 yards last game. And really, what he said he wanted to do, he wanted to take those safety routes, those underneath routes, until the safeties crept up to take those away. And then he wanted to pick up his chunk plays. And they did that. I mean, he hit, you know, Beasley, downfield, Moss, Singletary. And then he took his shot to Gabriel Davis. I mean, it was taken away from an illegal formation penalty or illegal shift penalty. But in theory, he did what he was supposed to do. He did the right thing. So if you get more of that, if you get more of those opportunities, then, you know, the game's going to open up. The field's going to open up for him. But he's got to stay patient, and he's got to kill that instinct that really kind of plagued him in 2018 and 2019. But I think he's more than capable of it. I said it on the point after yesterday with Matt Beauvais, John Murphy, Joe Scalia, that his best quality, arguably his best characteristic, is that self-awareness, is that ability to recognize, okay, this is what I have to do. And then his ability to actually go through with it and actually apply it. We saw it after that New England game in week 4 last year when he said he had to stop taking so many risks, and he became, you know, sometimes a too safe, but definitely a safer quarterback, a more responsible and disciplined quarterback after that. He said he needed to take his checkdowns to stay patient after the Chiefs game, and he immediately applied it against the Jets. So he's got what it takes. He's got what it takes to be patient, to be disciplined throughout the course of the game. It's just, you know, when things get tough, you know, how does he kind of quell that instinct?
Yeah, anytime, like, I think about this for the end of the Houston game, the playoff game, when things start to get frantic, you know, what does he look like when things start to get frantic? You can even go to that, the end of the Ram game, a game they end up winning, and, you know, he makes the plays to win, but mixed in there was that roller coaster. And, you know, part of it is, you know, kind of just tamping that down. But at the same time, that's where, you know, you have great plays that are mixed in there and you have great plays coming out of there. So, I, you know, it's a little bit of a just kind of like this back and forth on how he should ultimately do it. Sorry, I was just reading something from Ian Rappaport about Cam Newton and Bill Belichick, whether or not – I mean, the Patriots, things are going so poorly for them. They're answering questions as to whether or not Cam's been affected by COVID-19. Like Cam said no. Yeah, Belichick said no. Like, they had to say he's the starter and that he's actually fine. He's just playing poorly. So, you know, it's a big one. It's a big one this week. On the matchup against Newton, like, they've had a couple of good games, the Patriots, offensively. Not in a while. But they went to Seattle and scored a bunch of points. He threw for nearly 400 yards. They've run the ball somewhat effectively. And this Bills defense, while not looking like it's been as strong as years past, I just kind of feel like if they commit to stopping something against New England, stopping Newton, they should be fine because the weapons are not there. It's not like the Chiefs where you have to worry about Hill and Kelsey and Allaire and Mahomes. I mean, with New England, it's Cam and, you know, not a lot – beyond that, and even Cam isn't quite what he has been in the past. I mean, he's great when he's healthy, and right now he's not been great, and he might not be healthy, but it just might be that he's playing poorly.
Yeah, and Cam is probably the last person in the world who's going to admit that he's not healthy. I did watch him and the Panthers lose 7 games in a row back in 2018, while the world could see his shoulder was hanging by a thread, and he refused to admit it. So that's not a guy who's going to, even if he's hurt, it's not a guy who's going to let that be an excuse. But, yeah, he just looks different. And the weird thing is, man, like, this is Cam's career. He's made a living, basically, on doing the most with the least. I mean, we got to bring up 2015 again. Name his top receivers there. It's Philly Brown, Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn was their leading receiver, so... He can operate. He's used to operating with little to no weapons, but this is looking like kind of a different beast here in New England because there's no strong backfield right now. It's that weird rotation where they kind of hope one of those backs is hot, and if they're not, then they ain't running the ball well. N'Keal Harry, as much as I love my Devils, man, N'Keal Harry just isn't living up to that first round tag right now. And especially if he draws Tre'Davious White, I'm not sure he's a factor some Sunday. The tight ends aren't there, man. It's a different New England team. It's still got Bill Belichick and you still got to factor in that coaching. But man, like we said earlier in the conversation, if they're going to beat New England, it's got to be this New England team.
You bring up Harry, the wide receiver for the Patriots, and I want to finish up by asking you, where were you when DK Metcalf chased down Buda Baker? It's like an NFL where were you moment because it was so crazy the other night.
You know what? I will fully admit, and I'll tell a little story, I will fully admit, I didn't watch Sunday Night Football. I was burnt out by the end of the day. I was tired. I kicked back and I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood instead. Before I turned the movie on, though, I looked at my fantasy teams and I was doing okay. I was playing Joe B. Had about a 10-point lead with Chris Carson going. But he had Tyler Lockett. So
yeah.
After the game, I'm like, I'm fully committed to just not checking football until I wake up in the morning. But, you know, I got curious on my way to bed, so I opened the app, and I see a nice little 53-burger from Lockett and a fat L for me, and said, all right, that's why I didn't watch football today. I knew it was going to break my heart.
Yeah. Lockett, I mean, man, Russell Wilson, Tyler, I can't believe they lost that game.
Yeah, never trailing one time in the game to lose is – that's a tough way to win. That's a tough way to lose.
Yeah, I didn't even know I really didn't know they lost until the morning. Like, once I saw 200 yards and 3 touchdowns from Lockett, I was like, oh, my God. There's no way. So, I closed the app. I went to bed. I tried to disconnect there. And I wish I would have done that last night instead because that game was not one.
Yeah. That was a sleeper. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's funny. Like both those teams are 5-2. I feel like the Rams are good and the Bears aren't, but they're both 5-2, and you know they'll probably both make the playoffs, I guess. It's a weird year because you've got a couple teams. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of people that would say that about the Bills at 5-2. Like the Bills aren't that good. You know, the Browns are 5-2. Are they good? There's a lot of bad teams. It seems like more. We've got more candidates to go 2-14 than we have in quite some time.
Yeah, we have a legitimate 0-16 candidate there.
Yep.
And with the Jets, really curious to see if it'll happen. I don't remember how long the winless bid went last year with the Dolphins, Washington, and Cincinnati. But I really think the Jets have a shot at it. And God bless Trevor Lawrence, man. Go back to school.
Yeah.
Or pull a Rivers, pull a Eli, man. Like you've just spent this past year really voicing how much power. And how much power your voice has as an athlete, man, use that to help yourself this time. Please do not put Trevor Lawrence on the New York Jets and ruin that kid, man. I'm really pulling for that guy. I mean, obviously, I used to cover him since he was a freshman. I want to see him succeed. He ain't going to do that in New York.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they win the race to the bottom. Their schedule is not easy. I feel bad for – I mean, I'm going to say I feel bad for Jet fans, but, like – this year is not that surprising for them, really. You know, bringing back Gase, everyone kind of wondered coming in, like, what is that about? And the way he alienates players and pushes guys out the door, and I don't know what else they really thought they were going to get out of this season. Maybe not like 0-16, but it always looked like it was going to be bad from the outside. All right. Marcel, yeah. Thanks for the time. Glad to hear dog's doing better.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Thanks for having me on once again. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I had a dog once. I'll tell you both the story if you want. I have a dog. You still have him. You have dogs. You learn new things that they can go wrong, like you know, hurt their back or whatever. Those maze bowls. We had to get one of our dogs that one of those bowls that they eat out of a maze because he eats too fast. I also had my dog Hank once got cold water tail. You ready for this? This is a real thing. Cold water tail. It's if a dog swims and the water's cold, their tail can get inflamed, and then they can't sit down for, like, 2 days. And they took him to the vet thinking, like, what's wrong? Did he, you know, did he break his hip? Like, no, actually, his tail's sore from swimming. So, yeah. You never know.
His tail's sore from swimming.
What's that?
I said that'd be kind of a relief to hear. Like, I'd be so worried.
Yeah.
He couldn't sit down. Oh, it's his tail? All right, that'll be...
Yeah. Yeah.
At least I think that's the easiest fix.
It was. It was like, yeah, just give him like a day or two. He'll be fine. All right. Thanks, Marcel. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, later in the season. And thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.